A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The scribes and Pharisees said to Jesus, "The disciples of John the Baptist fast often and offer prayers, and the disciples of the Pharisees do the same, but yours eat and drink." Jesus answered them, "Can you make the wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come, and when the bridegroom is taken away from them, then they will fast in those days." And he also told them a parable. No one tears a piece from a new cloak to patch an old one. Otherwise, he will tear the new, and the piece from it will not match the old cloak. Likewise, no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins, and it will be spilled, and the skins will be ruined. Rather, new wine must be poured into fresh wineskins. And no one who has been drinking old wine desires new, for he says, the old is good. The Gospel of the Lord. When we hear this Gospel text, we often think of the contrast between Jesus, John the Baptist, who seems more ascetic, and we are very familiar with the image of the new wine and the good news about God that Jesus brings. But what struck me today is, first of all, the bold way, courageous way in which Jesus talks about himself. He speaks of himself really as the bridegroom at a wedding feast, at a banquet. He is the bridegroom, in that sense, at the center of it, saying so clearly. And then also going on to talk about in the parable why it is that he is the bridegroom, because of this newness that he brings, whether it be the new garment or the new wine, that there is something new about Jesus. So first of all, we become aware of how boldly he speaks of himself. But as we ponder what was new about Jesus, and we could name a number of things. He speaks about a new covenant in his blood. People are astonished at his tremendous works, all these things. But as we ponder that today, we could say, yes, of course, in contrast to what we as Christians think of as the old covenant, this is the new covenant. Thinking of all the prophets of old, a new prophet has arisen from Nazareth in Israel. But all of that newness, when we think about it, is now 2,000 years old. Do we just look back, and is our claim to our identity as Christians the fact that once, 2,000 years ago, there was something new about our message, but that today it would seem to be quite old? And what if the universe continues? What if Jesus doesn't return again in glory for another 2,000 years? Will the message still be new after 4,000 years? To some people, yes, of course, it will always be new because they will not have heard of it. They will not have been told the story of the love and mercy of God. But for the Christian people, it is no longer new. It may be good, but it is no longer news. So the challenge for us is not simply that we think of Jesus as something new and the gospel as news, But how do we keep it fresh? How do we bring it to life? How do we make it come alive at our period of history? In other words, we cannot content ourselves just with repeating the fact that at one time in history, something new and dramatic happened because the bridegroom was with us. And we would, of course, say because of the resurrection still remains with us. And that is good news for all times. But how do we bring that message alive that in a way we need to speak in such a way that it's not only new wine that Jesus brings, but a freshness to that wine. And in that way, Jesus and the message of Jesus especially depend upon his disciples. We must be for our period of history what those disciples were for Jesus' period of history. We must in some ways be new wine for our generation, new wine for our period of history, new wine for our culture, wherever we find ourselves in the world. So the question isn't whether the gospel message of Christ is new, but whether it's being born anew again, whether indeed it is fresh and alive among us. And that brings the challenge of discipleship. How do I make the message of Jesus Christ alive and vibrant today?